We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thanks for tuning into the Refresh radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and we are back from my trip to spend some time with my family. So I'll have to take some time to get my wheels back underneath me and get caught up. You know, whenever the pastor goes away, the work doesn't stop. And so whenever we get back, we'll have lots and lots and lots to take care of in the office. So I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, been there 24 and a half years, and we would love to have you come and worship with us whenever you have the opportunity. If not, we are thankful to get to spend this half hour with you Monday through Friday, 8:30 of a morning and 5 o'clock of an evening on 91.5 FM and rebroadcast as well, 10:30 of a morning on WWBC 1510 AM. And if you get an opportunity to come out and be a part of our Wednesday night service, we start feeding kids at 6 o'clock. Opening ceremonies for the kids' service starts at 6:30 and goes until about 6:45. Adult worship starts at 7, prayer after that, and then Bible study, and we dismiss at 7:45. And we're sending a record number of kids from our church to camps this summer, and we're excited about that. And in fact, I cannot put into words that I can share with you on this radio program that earlier this summer, I had one of my favorite moments, my favorite phone calls as a pastor in all of my ministry. When I got a phone call asking about a young person going to camp, and when I told them that, that could happen, how excited they got. And, one of my favorite phone calls of all time as being a pastor. And so God is doing good things at Merritt Assembly of God, and we're thankful just to be there to be a part of it. So we're going to go back to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to touch a little bit more on what we, the verses that we talked about yesterday. And it says in verse number 1, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So, like I said, we're going to touch a little bit more on this. And I want to begin by talking about verse number 2 and 3 there. It said, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? And it really goes to, on what are you dependent now in your walk with God? We all realize that we have to be born of the Spirit. That's in John chapter 3. We have to be born again. There's only one way that our names get written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that is through the forgiveness that is available to us through the blood of Jesus Christ. It is by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is a supernatural act for us who were dead in our trespasses and sin to be created as a new creation in Christ Jesus, one in which there is no condemnation, but there is the hope of glory. There is eternal, abundant, vibrant life. There is joy in the Holy Ghost. There is peace. All of those things. All of those things begin to take place because we begin our journey. We are born, and it is the omnipotence of God that makes that a reality. And what he begins to ask the Galatians, he wants to ask them this one question he's looking for an answer for, and that is, how can you require the omnipotence of God to begin your faith journey but be able to depend upon the impotence of your flesh in order to successfully perfect your journey? You see, there are no weaknesses in God. There are no failings in God. There are no shortcomings in God. There is no folly in God, just wisdom. There is omnipotence, but our flesh, apart from him, can accomplish nothing. And so we as Christians, we need to realize that at the beginning of our journey and every step in between to the very end of our journey requires being led by the Spirit of God, being empowered by the Spirit of God. I cannot tell you how many times I have made this statement and how many times people have made this statement to me about me, where you're talking with someone else and you say something like this: I don't see how you can make it through that. I don't see how you can deal with that. And when you're a believer, you have an answer, and it is not a tried answer. It is not a contrived answer. It is not flippant. It is by the grace of Almighty God, by the Spirit of God residing in me, empowering me to deal with the circumstances that I face. That can only happen by the grace of God. And so I encourage you today, have a conversation with Paul and let him ask you the same question he asked the Galatians. Would you teach me how you successfully do this? Because let me tell you, and in fact, we'll get into it in Galatians chapter 5, where it talks about the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. And he says, you would have to teach me. I know that I'm the one that brought the gospel to you. I know that I'm the one that is helping you and pouring the word of God into you, but you would have to teach me how something that began as a work of the Spirit is now perfected by the works of the flesh. He said, because I don't understand that. There is nothing wrong with technology, but technology is no substitute for the work of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing wrong with programs in the church, but those programs are no substitute for the work of God the Holy Spirit. There is nothing wrong with experience, but experience is no substitute for the work of the Holy Spirit. Paul was challenging them because he was saying the path that they were choosing lacked spiritual wisdom. It might be more convenient. It might not have the side effects like we talked about on yesterday's program, where people are trying to persecute you and ostracize you and kill you because you have faith in Jesus Christ. But he said, there is something that is more valuable than personal comfort, and that is growing in faith in Jesus Christ. And so he goes on and he talks about in verse number 5, therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. So Jesus encountered a similar situation when people confronted him and they attributed his miracles and casting out of demons to Beelzebub. And he said, if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people cast them out? And the reality of that answer was they weren't. They were claiming to have a relationship with God, but it was an intellectual assent. It was a philosophical assent, but they did not have the power. You see, the gospel is not just words, it is power. You can see that when in Paul's writings to the Corinthians. And I tell our congregation, if you begin to look at the Corinthians, let me turn over there. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So Paul is telling them, he said, when I first came to you and you were unbelievers, he said, I came to you in weakness and fear and trembling, and I didn't come with persuasive words of human wisdom. I came in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power, and because I wanted your faith to be built on the power of God. Okay, so there, if we want to see signs and wonders, if we want to see miracles, it is my firm belief that we have got to be reaching people who are hurting, who are broken, who are wounded. We need to be reaching those who are still in darkness that Jesus died on the cross to save, and we will see signs and wonders and deliverance and strongholds being broken and bondages being rendered powerless and captives being set free. Now, a lot of people, how do I want to put this? A lot of people get stuck there. But the 1 Corinthians chapter 2 goes on and says this, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And so it is not an either-or situation. It is not either signs and wonders or wisdom. It is beginning with the supernatural power of God and then growing in the supernatural wisdom of God. You see, if someone has capabilities that I don't have, if they have expertise that I don't have, it would be foolishness for me to lecture that person on how to do that. But if that person has power and wisdom that I need in my life, I need to avail myself of that as much as possible. And so that is what Paul is telling the Galatians here in Galatians chapter 3, is you begin in the Spirit, you continue in the Spirit, and you finish in the Spirit. That is the process. He goes on and he begins in verses 6 through 9, describing that it was Abraham's faith that was so beneficial, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. And so that faith is absolutely essential. It goes on down into verse number 11, and it says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Abraham lived before the Mosaic law was ever handed down. Moses was a descendant of Levi, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. There was a prolonged period of time that took place there. And yet Abraham had a relationship with God. He is basically the father of faith. He is our example. So we are not justified by our own works. We are justified by faith. And faith is not a curse. Faith is a blessing. Verse number 9. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Because we have faith, we are a partaker of the blessings that are available. And so let me talk a little bit about verse number 11 there. The just shall live by faith. The original reference to that goes back to Habakkuk. It's chapter 2 and verse number 4. And Habakkuk was a prophet who was lamenting the spiritual condition. He's one of the minor prophets. He was lamenting the spiritual condition of Israel. And so he started crying out to God. I'm trying to turn back over there and get to there right now so I can read it to you. So he was lamenting the sinful condition, the nature of God, and he began to cry out, and God basically tells him this, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of it because I'm going to bring the Babylonians and I am going to have them deal with this situation. Okay? And so if you're crying out to God and you are asking him to deal with the situation and he says, I got this, don't worry about it, I'm going to take care of it, that would be a good thing, right? Except for he says that he was going to deal with it with the Babylonians, a people who were much more wicked than the wickedness that Israel had going on. And so that creates another response from Habakkuk, and he begins to say, God, how are you going to use them since they are more wicked than the people of Israel? And God says, I've got this. And so let me go back to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk said, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he, God, will say to me, and that I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Okay? So, if we have issues in our life where pride is manifesting, again, this is Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 5, I want you to understand that the Word of God says, when we manifest pride, we are indicating to ourselves, to God, to those around us, that there is an issue in our soul that is not correct. Pride is not just an emotional condition. It's not just a mindset. It is indicative of a problem at the very core of our life. There is only one thing that we are permitted by Scripture to boast about, and that is that God is on the throne, that Jesus Christ is working in us and through us for his good pleasure. That's what we get to boast on. And so in the Old Testament, Habakkuk hears from God, the just are required to live by faith. And then we come into the New Testament, and we find that Paul finds out once again that the just are still required to live by faith. It is absolutely essential. You and I, we live by faith. In Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the Spirit of God that is working inside of us, it is a hearing that is of faith that leads to a receiving by faith, which leads to a living by the Spirit in faith. And it was true. It says, this is true for everybody. It is true for the Jew. It is true for the Gentile. It is true for the Greek. And you shouldn't be ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God to salvation. And so Jesus has come, and he sends the Holy Spirit to empower us and activate the faith that God has given to every man and every woman, that we in the New Testament times can live by faith. It was this concept, the just shall live by faith, that led Martin Luther to spark the Reformation in the 1500s. So in the Old Testament, they were required to live by faith. In Paul's day, they were required to live by faith. In the 1500s, there's a revival of the understanding that even now, we still are required to live by faith. And I will tell you that in 2017, it is still mandatory, it is still required, it is still God's expectation that the just, the people of God, those who have been forgiven of their sins, that you and I are still going to live by faith. You and I will never reach a place where we should be able to say, you know, I can coast on in from here. I don't need faith from here on out. I don't know about you, but the thought of dying, first of all, that's not a terrifying thing for me, because Jesus holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. But it is still an adventure that I've never lived before. And so you are born again by faith, you live by faith, and you and I cross the threshold into eternity by faith. And so there have been a number of people who have observed how people die, and they said the people who die well, who have this tremendous peace about them, are people who know that their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so they, what does it say in Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter 11 is the Hall of Faith chapter. Okay, I'm turning over there just a second. And it says, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Let me begin reading verse number 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness. Now, I want you to know, all these things that are being described here are things that are accomplished through faith. So think about this. They subdued kingdoms by faith. They worked righteousness by faith. They obtained promises by faith. They stopped the mouths of lions through faith. They quenched the fires. They quenched the violence of fire through faith. They escaped the edge of the sword through faith. They escaped out of weakness and were made strong through faith. They became valiant in battle through faith. They turned back armies through faith. Women received their dead raised to life again. How? Through faith. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. None of that sounds very pleasant, but everything that they went through in faith. It says they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, and here's the thing, of whom the world was not worthy. Worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves, all these having obtained, listen to this, all these having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should be made perfect apart from us. So let me ask you where you are. Because most of us have a victory or two under our belts. Most of us have come through some stuff. And thank God that he brought us through. But I want to encourage you. There's more days. There's more things. There are more challenges. There's more stuff to come. And so we need to, like it was said in Romans chapter 1, allow the Spirit of God to take us from faith to faith. That doesn't mean from faith in Jesus to faith in something else. That means to take our faith in Jesus from a first degree to a second level, to a third level, to a fourth level, to a fifth level, that our faith is constantly growing and increasing, and that you and I have so much of an intimate encounter with God, and that we trust him beyond our understanding, that no matter what we face, we are going to face it in faith. That's what the Spirit of God wants to develop in us. I want you to understand that this world tries to get you and I to base everything we do out of fear. God looks for us to have as our motivating factors that whatever we do in love, and whatever we do by faith in the Son of God. The Spirit leads us and draws us to have greater faith and trust in Jesus Christ for our daily lives. While you're at work today, I'm about to run out of time. While you're at work today, do your job through faith. Do your job through faith. Share the love of Jesus Christ through your testimony through faith, and watch what God will do. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.